This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Leadership Transformation Platform, Multiplying Authentic Leaders, Moving Society. I'm Adrian Groenewald. I'm the old man, Louis Groenewald, not with me today, but I have a wonderful guest, no stranger to our show. It's the second time she'll be joining us. Visit leadershipplatform.com. One word, two P's in the middle for all things leadership. It's wonderful. We've got Dr. Patty Pompalis in this, well, not in the studio, but I've got her with me again from the Coaching Center and the Integral Africa Institute. She was on our show on Leadership Platform a few weeks ago, and it was a fascinating conversation for a whole hour, I think it was, Patty.
It was.
It's good to have you back. We're going to talk about something very specific today as part of our masterclass, our leadership masterclass. And the essence of it is something called Leadership Maturity Framework. For me, it is about development. It's about how a human being develops and changes and grows. And of course, then in the context of leadership for an individual, for a team, for a country. And just a few minutes before we started this conversation, you very quickly drew parallels with the ANC, with government, with our political hemisphere. So we'll try and get there. We're going to have a 30-minute discussion around these issues. I'm excited. My concern is always about how people or leaders grow and change. There was a time when organizations had the money and the budgets to send leaders on programs year in, year out, perhaps, through very expensive university organizations, and no change happens. Maybe over a few years, something happens, something clicks, you know, falls into place. I think those days are gone, Patty. Firstly, the budgets aren't there anymore. We're in a recession, so we can't spend millions upon millions. And then questions are asked. What is the return on our investment? Are leaders really changing when they go on these programs? Hence, I think partly the emergence of the coaching industry, which is growing a heck of a fast, it seems. Soon every second person will be a coach, and then you want to find good ones. And many other tools out there. But a 40, 50-year-old leader set in their ways, have beliefs, have habits and all of those set, now goes on a program because guess what? My followers are different. They don't just listen to me anymore. I don't just inspire them because I have position. So I realize somewhere that I have to change. And my organization sends me on a program. It's a big industry, and it's not doing what it should be doing, I think. Brief comments on that?
Yeah, you're so right. Development is something that happens to all of us, but not all of us develop to the later stage capacities. Not all of us have the capacity to do that, or the competencies, or the environment in which to actually take our own development right to its full growth potential that human beings are known for. Mm. If we look at the research and this framework, which was developed by Dr. Suzanne Cook-Grauter, is one of the most researched frameworks and profiles in the world. And of the thousands of leaders that she has researched, most leaders are sitting at a mid-range in a very skill-centric kind of expert situation, or in an achiever's position. Mm. Now, that's all very useful in an organization or in our leadership to be experts at something and to want to achieve. However, the world has got so complex that no longer is sufficient for us, and we have to develop greater capabilities. But we're talking about an internal capacity, which first relies on a cognitive ability, but then it also relies on these multiple intelligences. So are you emotionally intelligent? Do you have a social intelligence? Do you have a moral intelligence? Do you have a spiritual intelligence?
Somatic, your body.
Somatic intelligence. Do you have are you aware? And the transition that we're really talking about is from being very self-focused and egoistic to wisdom. Now, okay, that's possible, but not everybody does that transition in their lifetime.
Yeah, and that is it because we don't know how to help them do that yet, or is it? And we can talk about that in a moment. I just want you to touch on something that I've come across, and that's sort of the horizontal and vertical development of leaders. Have we had more horizontal? But just tell us what the one is and what the other is, because you're definitely talking of vertical, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. vertical and sustainable and long-term development, which is continuous. It's continuous improvement to those who in the manufacturing world or whatever it is. It's continuous improvement of human development. Horizontal information and horizontal learning is what we're very good at. We go and learn something. We get better at the thing that we're learning about, whether it's law, whether it's psychology, or whether it's a craft. We get better at it. So we're expanding our knowledge, but around one thing. We're becoming better at the thing that we do. Vertical development talks of changing our paradigms of thinking. It's changing the way we see the world and the way we make meaning of things. So unless our horizontal development is combined with a vertical development, looking at meaning making, and as we grow as human beings, when we're in our early adulthood, we're kind of self-focused. We're about ourselves. It's about me and what I can do and how well I can be in the world. So I've got to go and get a degree. I've got to go and get a job. I've got to go and get things. At a group level, that also becomes an interesting thing. You know, what do I have to go and get for myself so we can survive? Because there is a survival thing there. The next stage of our development goes into, who do I belong to? Belong with, you know, what is my group? Who's my tribe? How do I connect with somebody? And the adherence to that group is very strong. Then you go into another stage of development, which is actually I'm okay in my tribe, but now something else is emerging in me. I'm becoming more aware of more things, and I now want to become good at it. So I go and really become proficient or an expert in my field, and I go to the top of my business because I'm an expert in the field. But I may be an expert in the field, which is quite also horizontal, but I'm not yet capable of managing a whole lot of people. So the added complexity of going into a management role at that stage, we see it time and time again where people are really good at their jobs and they're told to go in and have a whole team, and then they're not that good at managing the team, let alone a whole organization. So we have to be stage ready. And the vertical development looks at the capacity, the availability in the human person, and the ability to work with the potential. So not everybody has the potential for wisdom or for great leadership, but we can develop it. And one, when we're talking about this framework, the profile that you get with it, you can see where you are across these different domains and different stages. And then you can start working specifically on some of the capabilities that you may need for the demand of your role or your situation.
Okay, so before we look at that a little bit more, I want to come to the word maturity, because it's called the Leadership Maturity Framework. And before we even go there, because you've already touched on fascinating points there, Patty, is just the concept of how people change. So, again, we don't easily change.
No.
If I'm already in an executive team of a large organization and I have 5 or 10 years to go, I've arrived in a certain way. So why will I change? Then I might get a coach, but what makes us change? We know crisis makes you change. So near-death experience, a threat to my ego perhaps, or a threat to my future and my dream. You know, there are natural disasters and events in our lives that will change some beliefs perhaps. But what are the deep components that must be present for someone to change? One that I throw in the pot is humility. So if I don't have humility, I'm not going to change. I mean, but that's obvious. What would you also say needs to be there? So I can come and evaluate you with a leadership maturity framework and show you exactly where you are. But I'm not going to change, no matter how many times I have coaching sessions even.
Well, the interesting thing about the profile is it will show you the range. So if your profile is very narrow and sitting so within the 9 stages, but we very seldom see the first stage, which is very impulsive behavior and leadership, and we very, very seldom see the last 2 stages actually in the leadership arena, But we know they're there. We know some people have been able to really fully embrace complexity, hold multiple perspectives, be able to let go ego, and actually embrace really complex issues and give huge, you know, make decisions based on wisdom, which is collaborative wisdom and getting it from many sources. So you've got to be stage ready. So if the profile, for instance, shows that you've got a very narrow band, that you're sitting with all your scores or all your thinking and your meaning-making centered around just one or two, we can go, actually, it's unlikely that you are even starting to think beyond convention. Mm. Whereas if you see in the profile that there's a beautiful scatter across number of stages, because we need all the stages, they're competencies at each of our development stages. So let me give you an analogy. We'll talk about.
Should we look at the stages? Do you need to mention the nine stages?
We can, yeah. Okay. We can mention so let's take seven of them that are most evident. So the first stage is self-centric. Okay. It's about me. It's all about me. I don't care about you, actually.
Teenager.
Well, teenager, early adulthood. And not, listen, I'm generalizing because not all early or young people are like this. It's not necessarily age related. It's correct. More capacity, internal capacity related. So you're very focused on yourself. So when we see you have to engage in certain tasks during your life to go, okay, I don't have to be so protective about myself. I can now let that go, and I can take into consideration another human being or another group. So I become group-centric. But then we identify with the group.
Is that stage two?
Stage two. Okay. Stage two into stage three. So we identify with the group. And as we identify with the group becomes the norm. So norms are important, and actually being excluded out of the group is the worst thing that could happen to us. Then the next stage, but if we are comfortable in that stage, we start saying, okay, I don't have to worry about protecting myself in the group. The group is safe enough. I can now develop myself within the group. So I will go into developing my craft or my expertise, and then I become expert at that. At that stage there, we have a tendency, though, to have the craft dominate. So a lawyer will use legal jargon or legal thinking to solve every problem. A mathematician will solve it with, or a psychologist will see it through that lens. Mm. They don't yet have the capacity to see multiple lenses as all relevant and then make the discernment as to which one is right for that moment.
Yeah.
Or that context or situation. So it's not yet situational leadership. It's more, I'm going to go through my craft. So for instance, I've got an example of an FD who is very much in his craft, and he isn't yet able to do the strategic thinking that is necessary for the business, and is driving his other peers crazy because he doesn't get where the organization has to go because he's so based on the getting the things right around the the finance things, which is great.
Cost cutting at the expense of the strategy or whatever.
Absolutely, and not having a long-term vision. So also in these early stages, we're very adherent to convention. We do what we know in a very limited space. We can't question it yet and break those conventions to see beyond it. So our time, our temporal capacity for planning is much more narrow. We can't think of 5 years or 10 years hence. We can only think about 6 months or a year. Then comes a very interesting stage, which is the fourth stage, which is our self-determining stage. And we start actually going, well, now I can build bigger things. I can get a group of lawyers together and start a business. And I can see more. And I can see how it can start impacting in the world. So I'm able to hold much more complexity. And I'm also not so bound anymore. I can take feedback. I can take, I don't have to be right anymore. I can really engage with other points of view, and we can agree to disagree, for instance. But after this stage, we move from what we call conventional to post-conventional thinking. And that post-conventional thinking, we can't solve the complex problems of our world with conventional thinking anymore. Mm. We've got to be thinking out of the box. We've got to stay within the law, and we've got to hold those things that are right and ethical, but we've got to go beyond it. We've got to be creative. We've got to take in multiple information, and this is where we start questioning.
Is all the way to level 4 conventional?
Yeah.
Now level 5 only
is starting
out of
to be
9
post, yeah.
starts becoming unconventional.
Because we start questioning the conventions. We start questioning the rules.
Mm.
Not because we want to become rule breaking as the early stage 2, who is a self-centric, I don't care about the rules, it's all about me, so stuff the rules.
Well, we're not rebellious or anything. It's just
not at the post-conventional. It's not about a rebellion, whereas in the early stages it is about rebellion. Who the heck do you think I am?
Yeah.
Whereas at this stage, it's not about who the heck do you think I am. It's more about an awareness that there's much more to consider.
Mm.
But we start questioning it, and this is interesting in organizational life, because organizations are geared for expertise and achievement. So those who start breaking convention and start thinking out of the box, now Google, for instance, will have a whole room of putting in all their post-conventional thinkers and saying, we need you. We absolutely have to have you because we're innovating all the time. But to most organizations, innovation becomes a threat because we have to change. So you go back to your instance of the manager who's kind of very set in his ways. He's a great asset in terms of his expertise, but he's not thinking out of the box, nor is he able to engage in how the millennials or the post-millennials see themselves, or the issues of poverty or the issues of climate change, as well as running my business. I mean, please just leave me do my conventional role. But that's no longer our job as leaders. We are so, look, I mean, just take South Africa. We're having to negotiate business, social identities, social situations, climate change. We're having to manage all of this.
Economic challenges, political, all of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Beforehand, somebody else did it for us. We are now, it's becoming closer, it's at our door. It's at nearly everybody's door. So the imperative for leadership is huge. And trying to create a space in which people understand this framework, and if you get a profile which says, I'm actually seeing that I have the capacity for later stage thinking, that's the point we say you're ready for development.
Okay. So this framework, if you take a leader through it, he or she might think, I am the way I am. But that could highlight to me that I'm able to function in level 5, 6, 7, but I'm not there now. So do you see that you need development?
Yes,
I want it. I want to get there.
Yes.
Because on the one hand, I want to become the future CEO, or somewhere else.
Right.
But I'm not going to get it at the level where I am
Absolutely.
Now. And this could help me understand what development areas there are. I'm interested in 6 and 7.
6 and 7 becomes much more. 6 becomes much more strategic. So we actualize ourselves then. We can actually let go of ego. We can actually start going, I'm not here to defend myself or my group or my craft. I'm actually here for a bigger purpose. I can see how collaborative forces need to come into play. I can see where I need to take decision. So at that first stage of the convention, we become quite disorientated because we're questioning all the things that have worked for us so far. So it's a very disorientating time. And people begin to question why they're at work, why they're in a marriage, why they're doing the things that they've always done. And it can also be a great spiritual movement time. However, if we can transition people through that stage, and if the organizational system can hold those people and develop them and cultivate the further stage thinking, which is actually, now how do I get all this information in and still make decisions through it, but decisions based on a wisdom, not on my ego, not on protecting something, not on being defensive, not on how good I look, but taking the tough judgments. So let's look at our ANC for a moment, because we're all talking about leadership at the moment and who are the leaders that might come in. Those who've broken rank with the ANC, who are speaking out and taking leadership like Khoza.
Yeah.
Dear, you know, somebody standing up as she is able to do, a strong woman. She is vilified because you're going against the earlier levels of thinking, which say you've got to belong to the group, or we're going to kill you if you don't stay with us, or you are. That is defensive operation. That is not expansive. It's even not Ubuntu as I see it in terms of an African wisdom that can come into play, let alone anything else. It's how can we be the most expansive for the good of all? So when we
Malema as well, I mean, he also broke away. He's challenging.
He broke away, and he's interesting because I think he's crafting. He's working with his craft at the moment, and he's very bright. But he can regress into the early stage. He's using the red energy of the earlier stages to kickstart, which is often the revolutionary parts. It's often the fight or flight kind of tactics. My wish is that he would kind of work from his highest level rather than his lowest, because the reverting back into protecting myself or protecting the group and fighting for, we can do it differently. We don't have to resort to those means.
So you would say he is potentially functioning at a level three, four?
Perhaps.
With the ability to go beyond.
I think intellectually, I think he's got the ability to go. I think he's got the potential for strategy.
Yeah.
At a wise level. And you can see moments of it. There are moments of brilliance in. But he's also playing a game. He's also, I think, working the system in some way. My fear is that when you work the system, you're actually saying it's okay to work it that way. So you're giving permission to a very red energy. If I can use these stages as a red energy, which is very egocentric and protectionistic and defended and will attack, will kill actually to protect the thing that they think they have to protect. Now, of course, we can all do that. We've all got that potential. But are we doing it as a way of being or as a way of leadership, or are we actually resorting to it only in the moments where we absolutely have no other choice?
Let me just ask something and then we'll start winding down. But it's a fascinating topic, fascinating tool, it sounds like. Do you want a shift boss, fairly junior supervisor, manager in an organization, to necessarily start thinking like a leader at a level 4, 5, 6? Or does it suit the organization more to have him just be in line, doing what the group wants, lower levels thinking? Or do you actually want production to go up? Do you actually want miraculous production in a cost escalating environment where, let's say, the gold industry is going backward? So you need miraculous change, revolutionary thinking, which means I must have a shift boss or a mine overseer, mine captain, a little bit next level, who can access level 4, 5, 6 to start stepping up to the plate, as an example.
Yeah. So when we are wise in the way we design our organizations or place people, we're looking at their capacity and we're putting people with their stage-appropriate and skill-centric, skill capacity in the right positions. Because all of the stages are important and every organization needs people in all of the stages. Because they all have functions, they all have capabilities and capacities to do certain tasks. So the very early stage is in that go out and get is your sales. Go out and get the sale. You know what? Kind of just go out.
You're going to make money. You drive nice cars.
Absolutely. Go out and get it. But it's about what I'm going to get. So I'm going to get money. I'm going to get the nice car. That's their motivator. The next level is let's keep the group. Make sure the team's okay. Let's keep cohesion in the team. That's also very useful.
So if that brilliant salesman or saleswoman becomes the supervisor of the sales team, I need my next stage.
To include the team and to actually make sure that we all work together to get those objectives. then we need the experts in there who can help us refine our thinking about it. Then we need the achievements to say, okay, we've got this, and we can actually take the whole organization or my whole area to another level. So when you're saying, it's what is the requirement of the job, and have we got the right person in the right job? Also from a personality perspective, but going back to Malema, his cognitive capacity is really, I think, perhaps at a level 6. So is his emotional and social capacity at the same levels? I don't know.
And level 6 is high.
Level 6 is high.
I mean, very few leaders get
five,
there.
5, 6. Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Very bright. This is,
where is he typically at a 6?
Oh, very bright, yes. Mm. He was able to drive from an achiever perspective. But when we're talking of this framework, we're looking at the capacity of multiple lines of intelligence all cohesing in some way, and our ability to shift our paradigms around the way we think about things.
Mm.
When we can't change the way we think about things, it's almost heartbreaking to let go of something we've always believed in. If you've always believed in marriage as a paradigm, that's the only way to do things, you can never entertain anything else. I mean, it's good. It's not that it's good or bad. There are good things about marriage, but there may be downsides. When we start in a conventional thinking, we start generalizing across platforms and making everybody fit into a very limited way of thinking about things, rather than being able to manage all the nuances around in this situation, in this condition, we need a different answer. Or for this person, we have to apply a different kind of thinking. When I'm leading a team, I can't just lead in one way. I've got to have many ways, because when I'm working with individuals, I'm working with a multiplicity of a whole matrix. When I've got a business, I'm working with a matrix. So building by understanding this framework and working with the structures of building the practices into each stage, we can fast track people. We can bring their awareness into what is possible. Only if it is possible, though, because the profile can show you that it may not be.
Is this what's needed in organizations now, where, speaking to Bonang Mohale yesterday, the CEO of BLSA, he's been the CEO there for a month. He sits around the table with 80 CEOs of top organizations in the country. One of their strategic imperatives is transformation. And one of the reasons Bonang believes why South Africa latched onto the white minority capital so quickly was because we actually look around us and we're susceptible to that, or open to that, that propaganda, simply because business has not necessarily transformed in the ways that it should have potentially.
Yeah.
But now you look at those CEOs, and they are all committing to find successors who are competent, capable, credible, but black, not white. Where does this tool come in helping transform to make sure that leaders are fast-tracked? Some don't like this. I know black leaders who hate the fact that I've had to be fast-tracked. I climbed this myself, this ladder. But let's just use that as a case study.
Yeah.
I guess this tool could potentially assist.
I think so. You've mentioned a couple of important things. I think when we push people through what are natural developmental stages into something that is beyond their capacity to hold that complexity, we're actually shortchanging them.
Mm.
We're actually doing a huge disservice, and they fall off. So we often see people, instead of embedding themselves in experience and staying in an organization, they jump organizations because I can avoid holding the complexity. This has got nothing to do whether you're black or white. This has got nothing to do with all the constructs and constraints that we use to pin people in South Africa.
Mm.
This is human being development. All human beings go through this. So no matter who you are, what race you are, if you fast track me and put me into something that is beyond my capacity to hold, I will fail.
Yeah.
So transformation for me is an interesting thing, because we can't just change the external representation of transformation without changing the way we think. and building capacity in the internal part of the transformational
vertical development.
We can do the horizontal changes. We can change the government. We can change the people. But unless we change in the way we think, we just keep replicating what we've always done. I mean, that's a common thing that we all kind of know. But how do we practice that? So there's some instances where our current government are doing exactly what the old government did in almost the same way, not in the best ways, in their worst ways. They've taken on some of the worst behaviors because a paradigm hasn't been changed. Something has not shifted in the way of being or the way of thinking about diversity, transformation, about capacity, about leadership. We're still thinking it through limiting lenses. And this is not the answer or the be-all and end-all, but it is another segue into, if we understand that people develop gradually through stages, that this transformation takes a whole lifetime. We're only 20, how many years? 22, 3 years. This is a young adulthood. This is just finding ourselves in
the
young
adulthood.
The
country might only be in stage two or something.
Absolutely. Very right. We are in a stage two. We all...
Which remind us again, stage two is?
Stage two is self-protective. It's I'm protecting myself. So with this discourse that we have, whites start protecting themselves, Indians start protecting themselves because we apply generalizations. We apply, we're not capable yet of the complexity thinking to hold all the different aspects of our country. And when we can't hold it, we go to stereotypes and we make that fit. We push it onto people. So the development of our nation parallels the development of a human being.
An organization.
And an organization or a team. It takes years. So one of the things that we adhere to, you can teach people skills, but to help them change paradigms of thinking requires ongoing work. So I've said this to you before. The best work we do is when we work as partners to an organization, we continue the journey with them. That it's an ever continuous progress from this. We know where we're going to next. Let's see how we can get there sooner. And we've got a map which shows us the whole span. And we look at the map and we say, with these capacities and competencies, what do we have to cultivate in our organization to become the organization that needs to address profit, planet, people? And we may have to think of profit in a very different way as an economic.
We're going to talk area. More now. Yeah. I want to look more practically as well. But just to digress for a moment. So in August in Gauteng, you're doing a program about this.
We've actually moved the time to November because we were a bit slow in our marketing around it. In October, we're doing it in Cape Town, and we will be doing it this year, the end of October, early November. We're doing a program which will teach you the framework and give you practical experiences of how you use it.
So there'll be a Gauteng,
yeah,
and it'll be a Cape Town,
yes,
one.
Yes.
And if you want to give the detail of that, just
sure.
Where can people go to find out and stay abreast of?
They can go onto the website or www.thecoachingcenter.com or just get hold of admin at the Coaching Center.
Okay. So I just want to put that on the side.
Yeah.
Okay. I know people are very sensitive about... what's the word? Labeling and those sort of things. But we have to use examples to illustrate the power of it, or also to make it real for ourselves. Let's look a little bit politically still.
Mm.
Jacob Zuma. Mm. Heard of him?
Yeah, a little too much.
And we can look at a Nelson Mandela as well, because there's more about him. There's more about what he achieved, that sort of thing. Where would you put President Zuma? Where is he functioning on this leadership maturity framework?
You know, it's interesting because cleverness and cunning and even some strategic thinking can be available in the earlier stages. But where I see him operating from is about the, you know, the early stages of self-centric. It's me and maybe the next stage, the group. What can I do for mine? I don't see him engaging the post-conventional stages of all of us, which is part of our democracy and part of our
constitution
and part of what we hopefully all bought into, that we are all human beings on a journey trying to do the best we can. Well, some of us not trying to do the best we can. Some are trying to do the worst they can, where we go into such a self-protective, egocentric, I'm right, I deserve this. I've got to grab whatever I've got to get, and I have a right to it, actually.
Yeah.
That is early thinking.
Others had the opportunity now.
Absolutely. That is early stage. That will not bring about transformation at a global level or at a country level.
When we need it with a global economic downturn and a country recession. And
completely. So our separateness becomes the thing. We're separate. We have to be seen as different. And it promotes the discourse of white, Indian, black. I was listening on the radio this morning about how there's an acknowledgement that coloreds have been sidelined in this. I mean, really?
Mm.
Are we not all human beings? Can we start seeing beyond that while still holding each other actually accountable to when we fall off and we go into each of our own self-protection behavior, which we can all do?
What's interesting is, I mean, President Zuma can be strategic.
Yeah.
He often outmaneuvers others. But yet,
well, it's streetwise, huh?
Yeah, the purpose of that outmaneuvering is selfish potential.
That's the motivation.
Group, okay, my family and circle of friends. So does that show that you have the intellectual capability to function at a level 5-6 maybe, but you don't have the emotional capability?
Emotional, moral, social. Yeah.
So can I be at different levels in my different intelligences?
Yes. Yes.
So morally, I can be a level 6, 7, 8.
Spot on.
But somatic body, I can be a level 2.
Spot
and
on.
I can take these different cognitive, I could be, you said Malema could be a 6, but where is he emotionally?
Yeah.
He's still a bit separate, isn't he? It's us
separate
and them.
Separate and still too reactive.
Yeah.
When you get to the post-conventional, you're not so reactive. You're able to come in very strong, but from a very centered, we talked about presence, we talked about leadership presence. It can be very authoritative, but it's not authoritarian. Okay. And in certain contexts, we may need to be authoritarian. So when you're able to see this map and when you're able to really understand this, the map actually, you learn when is it appropriate to be this, because we've got it all in us, not necessarily the later stages, but we certainly got all the earlier stages in us. We all have done this journey. When do we use the strengths of each of those stages for its best situation?
Oh, it's interesting and complex at the same time.
It is.
Here's a question for you. If you watch the Mandela movies, there are a couple, but at one stage he received a note from someone in a township saying, we've got to go to war because of killings that just happened. And he actually was in turmoil, but remember that television moment where he sat and he looked in the camera and he said, you elected me your leader, now let me lead you. Is that authoritarian.
Yeah, that's authoritarian.
But it's not.
It's not autocratic.
Autocratic. And is that an example?
Yeah.
He's saying, now let me lead you.
Yeah.
Also, we know the Springbok emblem example, brilliant example, where he went to the National Executive Committee after they voted it out and
it's
said.
The same thing.
And he did the same thing to some degree.
Yeah.
Where did he function? Tell us just a little bit about your.
Sure.
Your
well, I think he shows a beautiful development right through all the stages, because as a young man, appropriately as a young man, he wasn't at those later stages. He was quite an interesting personality. He showed the self-centric. He showed the group-centric. He became a lawyer. He went into the skill-centric. He led. He started working in the in the organization, the ANC as an organization, and he started leading that.
Mm.
It was only later, though, because he, I think, amongst others, he's not the only leader. In the context that he was, the decisions that he needed to make, which we always have to adhere, you know, take into cognition, is what is the context which decisions were made in. He had time for reflection, and he used that self-reflection. Now, if I imagine Zuma going into self-reflective space, I actually can't imagine it. I can't imagine him self-examining.
Mm.
I can imagine him going into his space and going, bloody hell, you know, this is, it is what it is. I'm going to show them. Don't they dare? And you can see his finger, and it's don't you dare. Whereas what we see of Mandela is that he said, I have been elected leader. Give me the leadership because I've assessed, like in the Lekgotla, and you've got all the information, I'm making a decision from my wisdom, not from my ego.
Hmm.
I can see beyond you at the moment, but he didn't use that as I'm a better than you. He just could see things and ramifications that other people couldn't see.
So making decision from wisdom is unconventional.
Yeah.
Level.
Well, post-conventional.
Post-conventional. Yeah. 5, 6, 7 level.
Yeah.
And making from my ego is
2, 3, 4. Yeah. 5 is your transition stage.
Fascinating. And we've got so much to play with here. Don't we? So it's your different intelligences. It's what level you're at. Is it situation appropriate?
Yeah.
And then Musi Maimane, obviously a big figure in our country, leading the opposition.
Yeah, I think he's 4, 4, 5. He's got potential. And his work would be on really owning his power and utilizing it. But you can see he uses it from a subtle force. Now, here's the big challenge for leaders like this, is when you're trying to use it from a later stage, those who are still at the level 2 or level 3, or especially level 2, that kind of self-centric stage, or the group, my tribe, really challenge it, because that is about fight and force in those early stages. It's not about negotiating through collaboration and accepting that other points of view there. So when he uses a later stage engagement in an audience or to a place where their concerns are earlier stage concerns, and there's no two ways about it. When you're in poverty, my concern isn't about self-actualizing or do anything. It's actually about where am I going to get the next bit of food and how am I going to get a job. So the leader, the wise leader, has to have a number of strategies, leadership strategies, to work at the different levels and be able to discern what's in front of him.
Yeah, that's another dimension, isn't it? If you're a CEO in South Africa of a big mining organization, you have to consider that. You can't just speak from your level 5, 6 all the time.
Completely.
Mm. You've got to consider that I've got level 2, level 1.
You can use the wisdom to access the language of a level 2 to make meaning for those people that you're talking to, so that they get that you understand them.
That's where Imbeki started missing it.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Also
very bright.
One could then say Zuma uses a language.
He uses the early stage language.
Early stage language.
Of populist.
So does Malema.
Yes.
Okay, but Musi Maimane, is he doing enough of that? Is that what you're saying? He needs
to. Well, I don't know if I want to encourage him to go down there, but I think he's got enough of it. You know, then we also have to throw in personality, huh? You know, there's healthy personalities and there are unhealthy personalities.
We all have those two, dark and the light side.
Yeah. And in quite an unhealthy society, with a lot of dis-ease, actually, we reverberate the thing that looks most similar to us. So if I'm completely frustrated, I think Musi Maimane has got enough courage and bravery to activate that.
Can we always look at the politicians, but you've got Adrian Gore, you've got Mark Lamberti. Any of those leaders that we can throw into the pot to discuss briefly? Adrian Gore is one of the well-known case studies in our country.
Yeah.
Very bright.
Yeah.
He knows it.
Yeah.
He's been there for 15, 20 years. I don't know how long, Discovery. And he remains there. He remains relevant. His business remains relevant.
Yes.
What is he doing right? Well, he must be quite high up.
Well, he must be accessing consistency of working with maintaining what is going well, but also being able to see what's coming up in the horizon.
Mm.
You know, being able to have that vision reveal and move into the future. So mature leadership does that. It's able to look into the horizons. It's able to kind of see the exponential possibilities, not just singular possibilities. So I would guess that he would have those kind of capabilities.
Mm. Patty, if we can just, we've gone longer than I thought, but it's fascinating. And I want us to just think for a moment, put ourselves in the shoes of parents.
Yeah.
So yes, how do we prepare our children? What do we do for our children to help them move through these stages more effectively? That's the first school of leadership, I think. I guess that's where you get comfortable in stage one, and if you have security and love and affection in stage one, and then stage two, I guess your first group you want to belong to is your family. If you don't have a proper family, you're in trouble because you skip that, and then you go to school. Yeah. That becomes your family or your group.
Yeah.
So just maybe some advice to parents. We've all made mistakes. We're still making those mistakes as parents, but that is the first school of leadership.
Yeah. So we've been talking about adult maturity, and the first round of all of that is obviously through childhood, through babyhood, childhood, and early adolescence, and towards 18 or so. So the adult maturity starts kicking in from about 18 years onwards, because in a child's life, the developmental capacities there are about growing and building body muscle and brain muscle and all the rest of it. By 18, 20, 21, somewhere around there, those things are being negotiated. So there are emotional tasks, there's social tasks for a child as well. When we're talking about adult development, we're talking about a maturity. So we don't apply maturity to the developmental stages of childhood. We talk about it's natural for a two-year-old to throw their toys out of the cot and to go, I want my toy, me, me, me. It's not so appropriate for a 28-year-old to go me, 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 or for a 70-year-old to go me, 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 unless you're moving into some age-related decomposition.
Yeah.
So it's natural for an early child to want their family and be terrified of actually being abandoned. When we're in an adult stage, we should be able to make a stand without the fear that the group's going to evict us. So what is natural and proper for a child, you know, for the child to develop through and appropriate, those things are not so appropriate in the adult stage.
Mm.
But how can parents work with them? It's also about working with a child at the age development appropriate stage. So not expecting beyond their years, beyond their capacity to manage tasks.
Mm.
A four-year-old is supposed to be a four-year-old, not an eight-year-old. A 12-year-old is supposed to be a 12-year-old, not an 18-year-old. So can we work, and I don't think parents are taught enough about the developmental stages either, so that they know what is appropriate and not misbehavior. But a child of two who gets scolded for dropping a glass when they're trying to negotiate holding a glass of water is not because they picked up the glass because they want to be naughty. They're exploring the world.
Yeah.
So how do we prepare them? We prepare them through love. We prepare them through enough challenge, appropriate challenge. In adult leadership maturity, it's about optimal challenge. Are we getting the optimal thing out of you? And this is what the profile can do. It can look at your optimization of these stages. Are you inhabiting them fully? It's not about pushing through the stages so much as about integrating into the health of those stages and really working them. Some people bypass stages and haven't actually consolidated in certain stages and may have to go back to consolidate some of the tasks of the stage, because each stage has a task. It's natural, it's normal, But if we push people beyond their stages, they will crumble. They'll get in over their heads, as Keegan talks about. They'll go beyond it. They won't perform. They'll be over-vexed.
But schooling, university study, all that must start preparing people,
yes,
leaders, to think more unconventional, surely.
Yeah.
We're getting too much information overload and early stage development feeding almost.
So can a child play?
Yeah, they're
not
playing.
Can a child be encouraged to reflect on themselves? Can they have space? Can they work with poetry? Can they work with music? Can they work with natural science? Can they work with a multitude of things so that they can inhabit the world fully? Or are they being limited? And as I think you may know, Adrian, is as soon as a child goes to school, actually creativity drops off like multifold, because they are then boxed into a desk where you have to sit still, which is not where the child is supposed to be.
Yeah. It's so unnatural. And
it
and
is
yet
unnatural.
Classroom style teaching is still there after decades and decades and hundreds of years.
It's sad.
Patty, final comments then on the Leadership Maturity Framework. It sounds like a fantastic tool. I'm looking forward to learning more about it. It seems to me that it could be a wonderful resource in organizations to help change appropriately, help leaders grow appropriately, the ability to hold complexity. So it's not just about understanding where I am and where I should be, but it is about coaching me towards a higher level. Well, that's where coaching then comes in, typically.
Well, or to inhabit your level fully and to really embrace all the competencies of that level. It's also fantastic for talent management. How are you seeing that the profile is identifying the potential for people to have that capacity for later stage development? And then you know how to put people in a developmental pathway. How do you design your developmental programs? Do you do a one fits all, or do you structure it towards your innovators? How can you break convention in an organization? How are you allowed to think out of the box?
So cultures like FNB, First National Bank, probably Discovery, those cultures seem to encourage that authentically.
Yeah.
Not just say we want innovators, but actually we don't. I'm guessing you would find leaders that can hold that kind of culture or create it. Must function at a high level.
Yes, and it's interesting for their own development path or their own self-reflection to say, when is it that I fall back? Under what conditions do I fall back and I'm not as effective as I need to be?
Dr. Patty Pompolis, any final comments about leadership, about a message to leaders out there? Let's end with that. Dr. Patty Pompolis from the Coaching Center and the Integral Africa Institute. Final thoughts. We've said a lot. When all is said, not much is done sometimes, you know. We've got to take these principles and get it to the politicians and to the business leaders, but more so politicians, it seems, because we are suffering as a country. Yeah. We are crying out for mature leadership, and it's just not forthcoming, although a lot of maturity is sprouting forth through our business environment is speaking up through our your civic society. So there's good coming from all this.
Yeah.
Final message.
So often positional leadership is about, look at me, I'm in a position. So it's very self-focused again. It's not actually in service. Leadership is hard. It's hard work. It's not about a role. It's not about a position. It's about that continual capacity to reflect, take feedback, adjust, and I think let go. Let go of things that we may have held onto as a truth about something and be able to open up to there could be other truths and they could be even more valid than my truth. So that's letting go something of ego. And that we're all in this together, actually. If we don't make it work together, we'll just kill each other. It doesn't make much sense. So this job of leadership, for me, for personal leadership, it's time for introspection. It's time for consolidation, for getting feedback, hard feedback, and then doing the work of actually cultivating that muscle, that new muscle, and letting go.
Dr. Patty Pampalas, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Adrian. Really love this. Yeah.
Another conversation.
Thank you.
There's good things happening out there.
There are.
And let's build on it. And let's get this message out. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining us. And next up, our business masterclass. Stay tuned, everyone.
This is CliffCentral.com.